Welcome to the Highway Diary. I'm your host, Eric Hollerbach. With me, one of my best friends, Devin Murphy.
How's it going?
Good. We've been hanging out. We played golf the other day.
Mm-hmm.
Where was that? Rancho Cucamonga?
That was Rancho Park. Much further west.
I've only been back recently. I have a map, but sometimes I'm confused about where things are. I'm like, oh, Los Feliz is probably close to West Side, right? I don't know.
Well, there is a golf course there. It's just, we haven't been there.
I just wasn't sure which golf course. I don't know. Every time I go down, it's just for golf. It's funny. This is the second podcast I'm recording today. I was in Los Feliz earlier.
Doing really? And you still confuse it with where I live?
Yeah.
Even though they're like 40 minutes away from each other?
Well, dude, I was so tired. When I got back and we were texting
everything became Los Feliz?
No, I had to take a nap. I have adrenal fatigue, I think, from five-hour energy. We're going to find out later. But as soon as I got home, I took a five-hour energy at like 11 a.m.
You took it by six.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Right up the keister, bro.
No, I'm just curious because it's like that's the first step. Do you have like a case study going against 5-hour energy right now?
Well,
like
we're building it. We're building it right now. I want to listen to doctors in a minute about 5-hour energy. That's why I've queued a couple clips of doctors.
Isn't it just a lot of B vitamins? It's like a lot of B vitamins and like
we're gonna figure out what they say.
100 milligrams of caffeine.
Yeah, something like that. I think it's bad.
It still cracks you out. Yeah.
I think it. I think
1,000% your B.
I gotta go. Yeah, I gotta cold turkey it. Right, I think for a while, because what happens is I'll have it at 11, and then 5:30, I start getting, like, dizzy tired. But I've been having them every day for, like, 5 years.
Really?
Yeah.
Is it the extra strength or the regular?
Well, this morning I took an extra.
Is it a Friday or is it a Monday?
Hey. Pick your poison. No, but I think it's, if I take a regular, maybe the crash won't make me sleepy. I'll just feel, like, lethargic. But I think when you have a regular, you spike and then you crash. Mm-hmm. Maybe it'll be 6 hours of energy, but then after that, it's hard to focus. It's hard. I get confused.
Do you drink it or do you take it? That's why I brought it up. Because, like, if I was going to have a 5-hour energy, I would say I drank a 5-hour energy.
Okay.
I took it. That sounds like routine. I took my allergy medicine, my 5-hour energy.
Exactly.
Made sure I had my keys and my cell phone and I left.
Yeah. And I take vitamins, too. But
I take vitamins, too, though.
But in the morning, before I have breakfast, I'll take it so that as I'm going about getting breakfast, as I'm going about blah, 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 I'm up.
Yeah.
But then around 4, between 4 and 6, it's not good times.
So you drink it like people drink coffee.
Yeah.
But you still crash around 4 and 6, which is like the whole thing they market against.
I know. And I don't like, I just don't
like
the taste.
And you've been taking it for 5 years. You're like the most loyal case study.
Yeah.
Every day?
Probably.
Yeah.
And when I haven't, it, like, hasn't been a good day. If I run out and I, you know what I mean?
So maybe you're addicted to caffeine and B vitamins.
Yeah. I'm such a f***. Oh, this guy, what are you in here for? B vitamins? Get out of here. I use bad words. Let's talk about Here Comes Godot because, you know, sometimes you catch genius in a bottle. You catch lightning in a bottle. Sometimes you do something tremendous. Uh-huh. And then time goes by, you know, you're not sure where it is. But we made a couple years ago this pilot, a full hour-long comedy pilot to show to the world what we can do. And I still think it's one of the, you know, it's fucking perfect. It's an hour of hilarious comedy. This is the trailer.
Yeah, I still think it.
Oh, you want to say something?
I was going to say, I still think watching it holds up. But I mean, we can watch the trailer.
This is the trailer right here.
I thought we had like a no invite pack at this point because it's like a piece of shit and we look really stupid in it.
I get it, thanks.
You're working up the mess?
Yeah. You blew my heart. You blew my mind.
Really?
I'm just blown. Here, audition for me. My studio.
You're coming in!
Great.
I know waiting for Godot. Smack it.
Now let's sit close together.
Closer than this.
Much closer. Okay. Yeah. Much closer.
I think it looks too orange, man. Maybe I should have gone to orange life. You want to look orange. Yeah.
You did mug before Jersey?
One time.
Wow. Still pretty funny. So, yeah.
You know you have a 5-hour energy shot ad? Oh, no, that's queued up.
This is queued.
You have that queued up. Okay.
This is Dr.
5-hour energy was listening to you. right there, or
in advertising to me.
Yeah, maybe because they knew your habits. I was going to ask, yeah. Do you look at Fiber Energy online? Because how would they know it?
Like, I'm sure I buy it on Amazon.
Oh, you do? Okay, yeah.
So they with totally my account open. Yeah. My sister's in online advertising. She says all kinds of creepy shit to me.
Yeah, yeah.
Like, even if you say keywords around your cell phone, like, that could be advertised to you later in a YouTube video. Weird shit.
Yeah.
They might have nanobots in our brains. We'll get to that later. Let's talk about Here Comes Godot, though. You directed it. That was right out of New School. We got our cast from the New School.
Yeah.
And I think it's just about envy, backstabbing. It's about being an actor and how you're always looking around, comparing yourself to other people. Yeah. How are they doing?
Yeah, I think that's a big part of it. Well, I think that's what it captures well. And I think that it's a good time for that kind of stuff.
Yeah.
Like, you see a lot of it. Like, I saw, like, the opening of The Disaster Artist reminded me of the opening of
the film. You know, I didn't see The Disaster
Artist. Oh, really?
Yeah.
And I was like, all right. I'm like, it's our time. I think it's an apt title for something that, you know, we started developing that in 2007.
Mm.
So it's been 10 years.
And then we finish in 2010 or 2011?
Yeah, we shot it in 2010.
Oh, yeah.
And it was done took 3.5 years to cut, though, because we shot so much.
Yeah.
But it was one of those good cutting problems where we had too much stuff that it just became overwhelming.
Mm. And then Colin would always show us an edit, and then we would annoy him because we're like, I remember a cut where it was like this, but like we didn't have good notes as far as we didn't log our...
It was poorly organized at our the very footage. Earliest stage, but we plowed forward.
Yeah, so it's like, I'm like, can you find this? He's like, it's going to probably take 4.5 days to find that. Yeah. Okay, but
he would always find it,
yeah,
and it would work. Yeah, he was great. Yeah, I'm still proud of it. I still go back and watch it, and it's funny because you see people with, like, flip phones, you know? It's, like, pre-smartphone.
Yeah.
Or at least pre-smartphone saturation. And it, yeah, it holds up. Like, that script we could still submit if we wanted to, you know? It's a quality piece, and I think, I think it still stands out. Like, out of all the things I've done, you know, I still put a lot of faith in where that could go in the future,
which
like I said, is apt because it's such a, it's such a personal project.
Yeah, and it's so like deep within us. Those writing sessions we had when we were getting the premiere ready, so we really did arc out like 3 seasons ahead of the pilot, as far as storyboards and stuff like this. And we wrote such good notes then, as far as a writing project, when we were putting the pilot episode together, that, like, if we got a phone call and it's like, okay, they ordered 2 seasons, we'd be like, yeah, we can start tomorrow writing it because we have, you know what I mean? We know what we're doing right now.
That's
so
very true, yeah.
I'm just, that project always makes me excited. If I ever put a stand-up special, I get an agent, I start getting action, I'm going to be like, listen, motherfuckers, you don't know about this shit, you know?
It comes good, though.
But yeah, I think it doesn't matter if there's cell phones or not. It's about envy. It's about jealousy.
Yeah, I think it's about being in something you're proud of. I think it's about creative expression.
Mm.
And I think like it does envy and jealousy very well, but I think those are just like the bitter moments that you like define the fact that you're not doing it. Like that's how you see that you're not quite doing what you want to be doing. And I think everyone goes through that a little bit.
Yeah.
And like we know it really well doing like the kind of experimental theater we did in college. Mm. But I think when they get out there, like it opens with that and it kind of ends with that. Like the whole theme is like trying to figure out how you're going to sustain yourself while also expressing yourself.
Yeah.
But like in order to stay in that field, you have to do other people's work. And a lot of the time, it's not exactly the way you want to be doing it. I don't know. That's a shitty way to end it. It's not always the way you want to be getting there, you know?
Yeah, because being an actor, you know, you want to emote, you want to express, you want to perform, you want, you know, but you're trapped in this hour of some fucking maniac who got a name somehow. Like Robert Wilson, you know, in the downtown theater scene. If you're anybody, you know Robert Wilson, you know. Richard Wilson. Who's my character. Richard Wilson, who has Theater of the Now. And so, like, his whims, where he's like, everything I do now is theater now. It's happening now. I don't know if you understand, but he's just kind of a bipolar person that people have to put up with his outbursts, his rage, his not clear direction as what is going on.
It's like, I saw the Phantom Thread, and I was like, fuck, Eric already did that, you know? He's already depicted genius at such an intimate level. As Richard Wilson.
Thank you for noticing.
Downtown Theater God. And that was 2010, so, like, yeah, Daniel Day-Lewis is great, but maybe it's time he retires.
I think so. But yeah, so, anyway, check out Here Comes Godot. You can watch 17 3-minute episodes, or you can click on the premiere cut.
Yeah, I'd say watch the premiere cut. I mean, if you're going to sit down and watch it. Yeah. Like, nowadays, everyone has YouTube apps, and I feel like you can just watch it straight through. And it's much closer. Like, we cut it up for the sake of distributing, but I feel like it flows. Although we miss a lot of the great soundtrack that we had provided. That's the one thing that the individual episodes have. Each one ends with a different local orders that you and I source.
That's right. Yeah, there's like unsignedartist.com or something like that. Yeah. And we went through and we picked really great music. So if you want to...
And I had friends too. Yeah, we had friends.
Uh-huh. So like, was that like a third of it or something?
Yeah, we had... It was a... I don't know. It was all stuff we found. Mm-hmm. But yeah, I had like Dan Flynn, he did Bluegrass, and Son of Alf, like an old ska band.
Yeah.
And it was great. My friend Pat.
So yeah, and was Pat the DP?
No, that was Buns.
That was Buns. Yeah. His real name isn't Pat?
Peter Buntaine.
Peter.
Yeah, Buntaine. He went on to do some great stuff. He did a lot of documentary and traveled. I'd say check out his stuff.
Yeah, cool. Yeah. Well, you know, if you want to know what's going on in Richard Wilson's life now, he's addicted to 5-hour energy and his brain is going to explode.
It sounds like a tough life. It sounds like you need to drink a lot or take a lot, just the same.
I need to take more Miller Lights to kind of get over the hump.
Well, that's a doubt, man.
Let's talk to Dr. Eric Berg. He's on the phone. No, actually, he's on YouTube and he's going to tell us what he thinks if 5-hour energy is bad for you.
Bad for you, okay? Well, let's talk about it. It's cited for 11 deaths, okay? But what that means is that the people that ingested this product had it in their system before they died. It's really hard to prove that it killed them. So a lot of people report symptoms of dizziness, anxiety, and sometimes some people even have a heart attack. Now, here are the ingredients. Splenda, okay? B vitamins, those are all synthetic, by the way, they're not natural. Tyrosine, phenylalanine, taurine. These are amino acids that stimulate the nervous system. They wake you up. Enzymes and caffeine, about 115 to 242 milligrams for 2 ounces, depending on if you get the extra strength or not. Compared to an average cup of coffee at McDonald's, which is like 100 to 150 milligrams of caffeine, it's a lot more. It's double.
So what are you saying?
So what's happening is you are stimulating the body. 5-hour energy drinks are for people that are tired.
That's what people drink.
So it's artificially stimulating.
It's for people who are tired.
Which is eventually going to burn them out. That's what happened to me. I started taking all sorts of herbs and caffeine to wake myself up until eventually my adrenals got burnt out and I had chronic fatigue, and then it didn't work at all. So to get your energy back, the number one thing you need to do is sleep. You have to improve the quality of your sleep. And to do that,
you have to
improve the quality of your foods, okay? So the biggest thing that I see for people that are tired is they're actually have a lot of hidden sugars in their diet. They're eating the breads, the pasta, the sugar, and their blood sugars are... It goes up and then it crashes down. Sure, so they're tired when it goes up.
I know it's not what you want to hear.
And they're tired and grouchy when it goes down.
It's a good angle for
sugar.
Him to...
There's a much better way to switch your body to fat burning and start getting a lot more energy, more natural energy, and then you can come off these stimulants because sooner or later it's going to catch up with you. So you want to increase your foods to fix your sleep. I'll put some links down below, but that way you can come off these artificial stimulants
and
get real energy.
I want fucking real energy, and
I want you to fix my food.
It's a good way to take 5-hour energy and use it as a through way to talk about something else.
He's talking about a ketogenic or like an Atkins style.
I don't know. I want to hear what the diet is. He just says he wants to fix his diet.
Right, right, right.
And that's how he did it.
Right.
And it's like, if it's going to be that, like, kind of fucking, like, amorphous, like, what do you mean fix your diet? Like,
yeah,
did
right?
you pick a diet? Like, right. were you just saying you ate healthier?
Right,
like,
so it says
maybe
on
he's being non-prescriptive on purpose.
The YouTube, well, because maybe he's a doctor, he doesn't want them, the 5-Hour Energy people, to try to get his license taken
by going,
oh, he's putting his license at take, you know what I mean?
Yeah, that's true, he doesn't want to... So he's diagnosed against 5-Hour Energy.
But the fucking headline of the shit was, is this bad for
is
you?
Is this bad for you? Yeah, but he uses it as a way to... But yeah, I mean, the answer is yes.
Yes.
He does. I mean, he answers it heads up, and I guess he gives it a retort. He says, yes, it is. It's going to burn out your adrenals. It artificially stimulates you.
I think
I feel like everyone... It just sounds like you drink it like people drink coffee.
Yeah.
Like, everyone kind of... Like, I drink tea. I started drinking coffee in China, and then I came back, and now I'm, like, trying to drink tea again, but it's like... Coffee's good. You don't like the taste of coffee.
I just don't like the taste.
Yeah.
But I'll eat through, like, one coffee bean if you give me something that has weed in it.
Oh, yeah. Well, but that's the best,
That's the level that I'll tolerate it. But I, like, to have a cup of coffee from Starbucks, oh, my God. It's so gross.
No, I don't... Yeah, I don't go out and get it that often.
I'll get, like, a black tea, though. That tastes good with honey.
Yeah. I think tea is the way to go. I think tea has, like, antioxidants or some shit in it that helps when you come down from caffeine. Like, it reduces, like, the negative effects of caffeine. Because caffeine isn't a good stimulant.
But it's also... Like, let me get this. Let me stabilize this. Ooh, that's good.
It's, like, widely consumed, but it's not great.
The thing about some teas that I was reading earlier, I read this thing that says Bigelow is a tea company, and they put out a jasmine, and they put out several things.
I know Bigelow,
And one person was like, Bigelow, they claim to be organic, but they have Roundup in all of their stuff. You know,
really?
That pesticide Roundup, they spray it all over everything, it soaks in the leaves, then you have a tea of this pesticide, it's fucking terrible, you know? So even if you're teetotaling instead of having 5-Hour, then you're getting Roundup in your shit.
Well, you have to be careful. Jessie is really into tea, and whenever we would buy tea, she'd have to, like look up which ones, like, she knew which ones, like, didn't use that. Because a lot of tea is either, there are things wrong with tea. That's all I know.
There are things wrong with all plants. But when that doctor says, oh, you should get off bread, you should get off this, you start, let's say you're like, okay, let me just eat carrot soup every morning. Those carrots could be covered in pesticides. It's such a fucking, you know,
It could be, but I think that's two different things. I think what he's saying is true, and it's like, yeah, you take that risk, but anything you eat could be covered in anything. You know what I mean? you're saying they cover
they cover apples in horse cum just for the shininess.
Yeah, exactly.
The shininess.
Well, yeah, that's how you preserve it. Do you want to make it to in the off season? Do you want your apples, North Dakota?
Yeah, you want them to be all shiny in December? You think that's fucking magic?
That's not natural. Well, I mean, it's natural.
It's horse cum.
Yeah, it's horse cum. It's organic.
It's crispy on the outside. It crusts. Let's see what. K.O.
But no, I have to say, now that I'm getting older, I do notice that, like, food is something that you do all the time.
Yeah.
Like, we eat all the time, and I never thought about quite how much it affects me. And now that, like, I eat a lot healthier, which I do, like, I already ate, like, all right growing up, but, like, I eat even healthier now.
Mm-hmm.
I notice it when I go back. Like, last night, I stopped at a diner on the way home, and I had, like, it was, like, some New York-style diner, and I had, like, all this shit. I had, like, eggs and pancakes and bagels with cream cheese and potato pancakes and, like, it was the whole thing.
All the starches.
Yeah, and then I went to bed and I felt terrible.
You're just all twitching from the sugar.
Yeah, it's just too much.
Yeah.
You feel it later. Mm. That's a terrible idea. You can't take that, like, out of context. That's like taking one bad thing. You're like, this is why you can't eat too much. But it's true. Like, if I had eaten all vegetables, if I had gone last night, and, like, I could have still stopped at a diner, and, like, who wants to eat, like, a whole bunch of steamed vegetables? But you could, and I'd probably wake up today, I'd feel great.
Mm. Mm-hmm.
I probably wouldn't need to eat breakfast or lunch. I could eat something at, like, 4, and then be like, I'm ready to go eat dinner at 8.
It's a terrible trick.
But it tastes so fucking good. And I was thinking it while I was eating it. I'm like, because I've been eating so well, and then I was like, this is going to be terrible. And I'm like, but it's going to be so good right now. That's what we have to get over as adults.
Yeah.
At least that's what I have to get over.
I need a kitchen. I'm so better at food planning. I put shit in Tupperwares. What about, what does the local news say about
they
5 Hour?
They are in stores all over the country and usually right at the register.
5 Hour Energy promises to give you that jolt whenever you need, but taking too much could hurt you, Liz Bruner explained.
It's all this, but it could, if it would, and
taking
how much.
Taking too much could hurt you. That's
the same with
coffee. The commercials claim if you need to wake up and stay up, forget the coffee.
Tea,
the 5 Hour Energy shot is all you need.
That was fast and easy.
But that concerns...
Okay, the guy sipped it, and then he was, like, already charged in 1 second.
He was just happy.
ER doctor and tough...
And you don't drink a 5 Hour Energy.
Well, he's like you. He doesn't enjoy coffee.
No.
Yeah. He's like,
it's
he wants
procedure.
Something that's fast and easy.
Yeah.
He just wants something that he can take.
Mm-hmm. Orally,
just Chris Rosenbaum,
well, yeah,
who says
he'll put
teenagers
up his ass
and young
now.
Adults may take too many shots, and that could be dangerous.
I
think, unfortunately, you have a sleep-deprived patient population who's also drinking coffee and other caffeine supplements and potentially other stimulants.
And I let it kick in, and then I studied for like 4 hours, and it works for me pretty well.
People are appearing from caffeine intoxication, which presents as sometimes seizures, restlessness, vomiting that we can't control with medications.
The caffeine is an issue, but what else is in this product? They may claim to have all natural ingredients, but the high levels of one particular vitamin could be extremely dangerous. The label shows 5-Hour Energy has 2,000% the recommended daily value of vitamin B6.
Yeah,
you'll also see the clear warning that no more than 2 bottles should be consumed daily.
I think it's really important to drink a lot of water when you do it, because when I drink water with a 5-Hour Energy, then it's like, it feels like it lasts longer just because those Bs are able to absorb. But when you take 2,000 in 2 ounces of liquid without also doing, like, a liter of water.
Here's the thing about vitamins, though. The more water you drink, the more it gets taken to your kidneys. And so then it's actually worse for you. So when you drink a lot of vitamins, you want to take it with food and not as much. Or, I shouldn't say drink. When you take a lot of vitamins, you want to take it with food. That's why it always says, like, take it with a meal or something like that. Because it'll absorb better, because it'll get dissolved in your stomach acid in your stomach. If you take it with water, it actually gets diverted, especially if it's already broken down, like 5-Hour Energy, and it'll hit your kidneys, and that's worse, because you have like 2,000, like, what did they say, 2,000 milligrams?
2,000% of your daily allowance of B6.
B6.
But then there's like 8,300 of B12, but they don't talk about that.
I wonder if that's not absorbed. The other thing is, like, your body can only absorb so much of certain things at a certain time. That's why people who are, like, if you take a lot of supplements, especially like hard supplements and like that, at the same time you don't absorb that many of them, as much of them, like, for, I forget what it is, but you don't just, you know what I mean, like, you're not a sponge, like, you're gonna process it, but it's not all gonna I worry about that, though, because I drink a lot of water. I always have, but I do take supplements now. I take, like, calcium and magnesium and iron when I'm vegetarian.
I started taking magnesium, too.
Magnesium is great.
I
still have anxiety. Oh, I mean, I still have anxiety, but it's, like, magnesium's, like, it's very nice, yeah. It's not, like, you know what I mean? Like, it's, And I've read that most people are actually magnesium deficient.
Mm-hmm.
Like, it's one of the highest deficiencies, especially in America. And I don't think we realize it.
Mm. This there's a podcast called The Higher Side Chats, and he had some doctor on who was trying to be a good doctor with, I think he was like a Reiki master, whatever. But then he became a nutritionist because he goes, everyone is magnesium deficient, so even if I do massage and different things, they're still going to be magnesium deficient.
Yeah.
So let me be a nutritionist so I can start helping this problem, you know?
Yeah.
It's like all disease, like, who would need a flu shot if you're taking, like, vitamin C every day? You know, there are certain things where it's like, wait a minute, what's going on here, you know?
Yeah, I think it depends. I think a lot of people who work in the industry would recommend flu shots.
Pharmaceutical industry?
No, it's in the healthcare industry.
Yeah.
You know? Pharmaceutical is one facet of that. But I don't have anything against flu shots. But Do you have any theories about flu shots?
They're trying to put nanobots in our brains, but we're going to talk about that later.
Look at this.
This is an ingestible origami robot. Now, this was published from MIT and the University of Sheffield and Tokyo Institute of Technology. They came out with an origami robot. Let's say you eat a penny or something, or you ingest a battery, okay?
Yeah.
Then you eat this thing, and it goes to collect that battery.
A team of researchers at MIT and elsewhere have developed a tiny origami robot that can unfold itself from a swallowed capsule to complete specific tasks within the body.
The robot can remove foreign objects, it can patch wounds, or it can deliver medicine at designated locations.
This new ingestible robot builds on the team's previous work on mini origami robots. However, the design of its body is significantly different.
The challenge with designing an ingestible robot is finding biocompatible materials that are easy to be controlled and amenable to the types of operations that are needed from the robot.
To address this challenge, the researchers tested about a dozen different possibilities for the structural material before settling on a type of dried pig intestine used in sausage casings. To demonstrate how the robot works, the researchers folded the structure into a capsule made of ice. The ice capsule travels down the esophagus into the stomach, where the ice melts away and the robot unfolds to its functional form. At this point, the robot can be controlled by an external magnetic field to do work, such as the removal of a foreign object from the body. For example, every year, 3,500 swallowed button batteries are reported in the U.S. alone. The tiny batteries are digested normally, but if they come into prolonged contact with the tissue of the esophagus of the stomach, the batteries can burn the tissue and become embedded. Now, using the team's new robot, the battery could be removed without surgery.
Once inside the stomach, the robot could be directed to attach to the battery. It could lift the battery from the stomach coating and then eliminate it through the digestive system. Next, we would like to do in vivo experiments. We would also like to add sensors to the robot and redesign the robot so that it's able to control itself without the need of an external magnetic field.
So we're going to put artificial intelligence in an origami robot so it could go, oh, a battery, a button, cool, got this one. Dive in. Then it goes to find it. I guess before, if you, like a watch, a little, you know, wristwatch, they have those tiny batteries that are button
batteries.
Yeah,
that's what they're saying, button
batteries. So if someone acts
2,500 cases reported a year, I guess it makes sense. I bet that's not even counting veterinary cases. My grandmother had a dog that would eat buttons off of people and ate that shit.
Yeah.
But it's a serious risk because it's like batteries contain acid.
It's like a pill that when you're... stomach acid releases what's in there. It's going to fuck you up.
It's like a slow capsule.
Isn't that crazy?
That's awesome.
So let's take that a step further. If that's what they're telling us is going on, what are they not telling us what's going on? So there's something called smart dust that the military came up with. So this is a doctor in 2012 talking about what smart dust is.
In the future, every square inch of every city will be alive with intelligence. Because every street and every building will have a network of microcomputers built right into them. Dr. Chris Pister calls it smart dust.
A smart dust particle or mote is a wireless sensor with sensing, computation, power in one package.
He's just in the corner.
Yeah, but why is he in that and the B-roll in that?
Very small.
The size of a mote today is about the size of a grain of rice.
Yeah.
And we've shown that we can make the circuitry small enough and light enough that eventually it will be possible to make things that are on a sub-millimeter size scale.
Tiny specks of computer smart dust will form a vast invisible network that can help manage the infrastructure of even the largest city.
Smart cities in the future will take this low-power, inexpensive, small technology and basically distributed everywhere.
These tiny computers record information about their surroundings.
In chemtrails, what if you had an airplane and you dusted every day the city of Los Angeles with smart dust nanorobots that would just go about, they got artificial intelligence, you know, they just go about their business collecting information for the Gestapo. I don't know, isn't that what that guy's saying?
Yeah, but, I mean, who would be behind that? You know?
I don't know. Who's funding this?
Just because it could happen doesn't mean that it would happen. Like, right now...
Who's funding this guy?
Yeah, I mean, I think there's a lot that's going to happen with nanotechnology, but I don't think that's... a concern right now. I think that's like a jump. Like, I think nanotechnology is going to be something that's big.
You think he's talking about something that's happening 100 years in the future?
Yeah,
he's just,
I mean,
like,
just,
hey,
no,
maybe
no
this
offense
will
to the, but like just the production quality of the thing. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Like it's not schlocky, but you know what I mean? Like it's exciting. It's sensational.
Mm.
You know, and like I get it. I read a book called it's like Everything Is Going to Kill Everyone. It was by, did you ever read Cracked?
No.
It Cracked is like a website, and it was like a writer from that who was pretty funny, and it was like 30 doomsday scenarios that are either like pending or have happened. And it actually started with the launch, speaking of like the Hawaii shit, or I mean we weren't talking about that.
Oh yeah.
But it started with a launch that almost happened. Like it, like satellites malfunctioned and like radar malfunctioned, and Russia could have launched, but they didn't. They like held tight. But it goes through nanobots and like how like the, you know, the development and like what we'll do with them as far as like, you know, how they can be used for good, but then also like there's a lot of potential in the wrong hands for nanotechnology to be like to turn into an arms race.
Yeah,
which
or
yeah.
Cloning, you know. Oh, mm-hmm. You hear China's cloning, then the U.S. general is going to be on the phone. Well, we have to have a cloning program too.
Yeah.
Oh, the Nazis had one. Well, we got to get ahead of them.
But I feel like that's too far-sighted to be taken seriously yet. Like, you have to look at, like, the issues that are at hand now with science. You know
what,
like, I mean?
What are they?
Like, nanotechnology where it is now for a medical application, and whether it's being used for defense purposes. You know, like, you could find out if people are applying for defense shit, especially patents in the U.S., you know?
Mm.
And you could see, like, defense spending. I think, crop dusting, like the city of Los Angeles, with shit that's
nanobot technology. Nanobot.
Yeah, I mean, who knows? Like, I think it's good, like doomsday material, but I think it's like too far off to be taken seriously at this juncture.
This came out in 2007. We're looking at a 3D animation, but this was made to describe how a nanobot would attach to a neuron.
Mm-hmm.
So they were trying to develop this technology and theorize what it would look like. So this neuron is connected to by this nanobot who puts out tentacles that connects to this neuron.
Trenticles.
Tentacles.
Trenticles.
Sure. Isn't that interesting?
Whoa.
Though? What if that's in your brain right now? What if that's in your brain?
That's like Manchurian Candidate shit.
You never know.
That's just good old-fashioned brainwashing. You know what I mean? But like, there's always been like a fear. Like, it was brainwashing before. Now it's nanobots. But it's like, you know, like, I think there's more good to come of nanobots before we get to, like, the Skynet self-aware stage, you know?
The Skynet?
Yeah. You know, like, before we get to the point where it's, like, all weapon.
Hmm.
You know?
You know, even just, like, with speed camera tickets, you know?
Well, yeah, but those have been, that's why West Hollywood pulled them all out. Beverly Hills still has them.
Oh, really?
But those have been, like, kind of ruled unconstitutional.
Well, it's your Sixth Amendment right to face your
accuser. Yeah, which they can't
so
do.
That's why, you know, a motorcycle cop has to pull you over
and then go to court.
Look at your face with his fat, stupid face.
And then I have to go to court. So you have to go. I saw traffic school in there.
No, traffic court. I thought, so this was the last day I had to, like, type in to the website, and they gave me, I have to go to the Van Nuys traffic court on January 29th at 8:30 in the morning to look at this traffic cop who, I did a U-turn in a residential neighborhood in Sherman Oaks.
And you got popped for it?
And, yeah.
That sucks.
And he goes, this is a commercial zone. I go, there's apartment buildings!
Mm-hmm.
And he goes, yeah, well, those are big apartment buildings, so this is a commercial zone. Big apartment buildings?
Yeah.
So a more concentrated amount of residences makes it commercial. It's
maybe
so residential that it's
commercial.
That's what this fucker said to my fucking face.
He could be lying, or he could be right, but either way, I think you'll fucking lose if you go into court with that. I think if he shows up, you just have to fucking... Like, are you going to fight it? Like, you did a U-turn, and he popped you for the U-turn.
Yeah.
Are you going to fight it, or are you just going to... Like, I say go. Maybe he won't show up.
I have to go.
Yeah.
But that's... But the ticket that... Oh, yeah, I could have paid, like, $310.
It was $310?
Something like that.
Oh, fuck that. Yeah, I'd fight that.
So I'm like, dude, I did a U-turn at residential when he was the only... I saw him.
Yeah.
Yeah, I saw
it's
him.
A commercial, so fuck what if it's a commercial zone?
And I was
Where was it?
Sherman Oaks somewhere.
Yeah. Okay, it's Sherman Oaks. Yeah. It's not like you're in, like, downtown, you know? You're
yeah.
Not, like, pulling a U-turn on, like, Flower Street.
Dude, and there, I waited until there was no cars at, like, both the stoplights, but then even beyond that, no cars.
Yeah.
And then I'm like, all right, it's cleared. I hit the U-turn, and then he pulls me over.
Yeah.
You know? And then I had passengers in the car, too. I'm like, I'm trying to have... This mom is...
Really? Do you think they reported it, too?
No.
Okay.
I was like, this mom is trying to pick up her kid from kindergarten, and this kid's trying to go to CSUN right now. What are you doing to me right now? And he's so stupid. It took him, like, 40 minutes to write
just after you pick somebody up.
Yeah.
Were they just muscling you because you're a driver? That's probably what
it
was.
I don't know.
If you had just picked someone up and you pulled a U-turn, they were probably muscling you.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Muscling me for who? The taxi union?
No, just the cops. The cop, like, people, yeah, or maybe the taxis, or maybe, like, a lot of people who aren't professional drivers are driving professionally right now. Like, a lot of people who can't drive, and it's, like, pissing people off, where, like, they're getting targeted. Like, postal workers don't like them, taxi don't like them, cops don't like them. You know what I mean? Like, Uber, like, rideshare people are, like, you know, people will pull them over.
Yeah.
It's almost like a fuck you. But it's just the it's a generational thing, too, when you think about, like, you know...
Yeah, nice. Do you need to take a break or something?
No, I forget. Oh, I just got more water.
Okay. So. You want to keep learning about Smart Dust?
Yeah.
Information they can send to other computers or to you. Smart Dust on the tracks will monitor your commuter train so you know if it's running late. Potholes will be able to report themselves and warn your car, and you'll never have to wait for a radio traffic report again.
They're monitoring the flow of traffic and giving you
because
alerts
everything
about
is
what
coded.
Route is the right way to go.
How fucking crazy are what they describe it? So they've sprinkled dust everywhere, which people are inhaling constantly. I'm just thinking, like, what are the respiratory, like... consequences of what the fuck you're talking about.
That's
they're
what
monitoring
make sense.
Traffic.
Like,
they're
would
monitoring
everyone be inside. Like, when they did this, like, no, it doesn't make sense. I don't think it would ever happen.
What if it is, and that's what chemtrails are? I don't know.
That's what chemtrails are.
Look at what he's talking about. Who is this fucking weirdo in the corner?
The trap.
It's like we have this God knowledge. We can just, like, look in anyone's marital bed and see if the wife is fucking the neighbor. Like, this is just a total full-spectrum dominance of having any information. Oh, what was that? Let me check the neural bed. Yes, he's on 5th Street.
Yeah.
What? He's talking to a crackhead. Social Security number, 14827.
Yeah. Some minority report stuff.
Dude.
But I think it's, like, not real. You know what I mean? Like, I call bullshit to a certain degree. I think that if they were to implement something that does what this says it's doing, they would do it more gracefully than spraying it out of planes with or without people knowing it.
But isn't that what he's saying? Like, it would be, like, on the tracks of a commuter plane.
Yeah,
so it
would be applied to the tracks of a commuter train. It would be, you know what I mean? Like, it would have applications in society where you could have a really dense network, or the opposite, you know what I mean? Like, a really sprawling network that was connected almost invisibly, like, you know?
Yeah,
like,
yeah, yeah.
But it would make sense. Like, the things he's talking about, like, people would know if their commuter trains were on time. That shit, we already do. We don't need nanobots to do that. Like,
a little
it's
GPS
cool.
And a...
Yeah, it's cool that it all goes to one command center, but, like, we're... You know what I mean? It's like, it's still...
You're talking about covering everything in dust, man. Yeah. It doesn't sound good. It doesn't sound hygienic.
I mean, the music has me pumped, but...
This fucking weirdo talking through a beaker.
Bridges will get a coating of smart dust particles that can warn us when they detect stress fractures, helping avoid deadly collapses.
But think how nano a stress fracture is. So how nano are these particles that are seeping into the cracks of a bridge going, hey, there's a problem here?
I don't know. I mean, they probably are.
That's an inhalant. That's not just you apply it to the tracks, like rice, to collect information.
I don't know. But stress, yeah.
Stress fractures.
Stress fractures. I mean, stress fracture, like a fracture in a bridge is big.
Yeah, but not a stress fracture.
Yeah.
In a femur or something like that.
What's a stress... Yeah, but
that's what runners get from, if they run too much, you know, they'll get, like, cracklings through their bones.
Yeah.
Like, breaks. but it's not like
yeah, so it's like they have time to repair it.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. If with if they take ice baths so like and rest.
I see what you're saying. It's like the same thing, like around here you see Prop 65, like this structure contains chemicals known to the state of California to cause birth defects and reproductive harm. Cancer.
And still,
but it's just anything that had lead paint or anything close to lead paint, asbestos, anything that's like, I guess like 60s, 70s.
Mm. That's my ice machine.
That's a sweet ice machine.
Thank you. just digging for compliments.
No, I like it. I respect having an ice machine because ice is oft overlooked. Like, you can even have a party in here now.
Yeah, yeah,
People can bring liquor and you're good.
All kinds of different drinks, whatever. Yeah. Everyone's going for that ice every
time. Ice machine.
Hey, this is a guy with a bionic eye. He had a horrible injury.
Bionic eyes are cool.
No, literally. His body makes films. After a shooting accident when he was 9, Rob had to have his eye surgically removed. But after joking with friends about having cyborg one installed instead, documentary maker Rob actually went and did it.
Pretty much anyone who loses an eye will make a joke, at least. I should get a camera put in there. It's not a wacky, out-of-this-world concept.
Years of hard work and research have left him with this, a tiny camera implanted in his eye socket, which transmits video wirelessly to screens, TVs, hard drives and cameras. And it's opened up a whole new perspective for him, even getting him offers of, unsurprisingly, secret camera work.
One very high-up news executive said, would I like to go to Iraq? With my prosthetic eye and see what I could see there, because sometimes when you have a giant camera, it's not such a great idea in a war zone.
He's a private eye, bro. Yeah. He's getting hired for secret, you know, recon.
Wow.
His eye looks fucking gnarly, though. It looks like maybe they could put like
kind of painful just coming from a person with two eyes.
Yeah.
Because I think of my eyes as, like, soft, and, like, whenever I see, like, people, like, get their eyes maimed or whatever in, like, movies, it's, like, it's rough. So seeing it where it's something that's not even, I think that it's, like, incongruous. You know? Like, there's ripples in it, and, like, that's what sets me off.
Well, I think that there's a piece of glass over the whole thing. But, like, when you look through the piece of glass, you see, like, a battery over here.
Yeah.
And, like, the camera's all wonky to the side, and then there's, like, this circuit piece here. So you open his eyes, and it just looks like a hobble of fucking electronics.
Is that what it is?
But I think there's a piece of glass over
You've seen it. Yeah, that would make sense, because I can't understand how.
Because this makes no sense unless you think, oh, that's all covered in glass.
Yes. That makes me feel better. You know? There's something, something about the surface.
It's like YouTube quality video, so it's not the best. Yeah.
I wonder if he's ever going to have to upgrade.
After a shooting accident when he was 9, Rob had to have his eyes surgically removed.
It's got to be. I don't know. Like, when you look at it, like, you don't...
About having a robotic cyborg.
Because the eye doesn't go all the way that way. Like, it looks like it's just tapered. You know, like, the metal part looks like it's tapered into the corner of his right eye.
Yeah, he got, like, a $300 camera installed with a chisel.
He got a baby monitor. they're like, Scott, I think you should invest in this. He's like, I want to get the new iPhone.
No, but this guy is saying for $30, he's got a shovel. He's going to whack a Fisher-Price portable receiver into my head.
Are you going to put glass over it? I don't know. We'll figure it out.
We'll put saran wrap or something.
I don't think people will care.
It's going in his head.
No one's going to spend time on that.
Yeah, they're like, he's got recon work. Hey, can you take your glasses off? Actually, you failed this interview because it looks like there's a...
Would you make that trade-off? So it's like...
Okay.
So when I first saw it, I thought like maybe they had found a way to like port it in. Like he could
to his
see.
Brain stem.
Yeah, you know, he could see through it. Like it was a bionic eye.
Right, no.
No.
He's still blind in one eye, totally.
So that
but he
means...
he sends the signal to something that is one eye that actually can see, see on
but
a monitor.
But it's not him.
Right.
And there's no reason for him himself to look at that monitor. You know what I mean?
Right,
like,
that's right.
Purely for other people.
Yeah.
So it's like he kind of like put himself so that he's always... he's always of help to somebody. He's like a tragic hero.
Do you think he can upgrade that to like HD or like a 4K?
I think he'll have to. I think as those cameras get smaller, it'll probably be, like, eye surgery will probably get better. Like, I imagine, like, 20 years, like, LASIK will be, like, something that's, like, braces, like, people get, you know, like, when they're young.
Yeah.
But I think everyone, has to wait to make sure, like, everyone doesn't go blind from LASIK. Yeah. How long have you been doing LASIK?
You know, my friend Jeff Reeves had LASIK, and it still works good.
Yeah. So. I've never heard anything go wrong. But people, I remember people were afraid. But people are also paranoid about change and new technology. For the same reason they were paranoid about space dust or whatever and fucking nanobots.
Smart dust.
Real. Over everything. Maybe it is an inhalant, but it's like, what...
Then it goes in your brainstem, then it controls your thoughts, then it changes
your... How does
your,
it control your... You know what I mean? Like, that's a leap, though.
No, it starts making you buy Katy Perry records to support the music industrial complex.
So, those are a number of possibilities. I could see them coming to fruition if there was someone behind it that was willing to take those steps, but they don't justify each other. Like, just because... Maybe, like, yes, if there was space dust, like Prop 65, it could be an inhalant.
Right.
But that doesn't mean that you're going to buy Katy Perry records, because you're going to go crazy.
Okay, I'm going to load this. Yeah.
Let me be the...
Okay, you're the voice of reason.
Yeah, I'll be the Scully to your Mulder.
So...
And we'll do this, like, fucking 140 times.
Wait, I've got to go through this advertisement. It's always got to be aliens, it's nanobots... It's a secret technology in your brain. Okay, I want to set up this clip a little bit. I just wrote a dramatic sci-fi TV show that I sent all out over Hollywood. And it's all about cloning. And I've taken many different sources. One was this book called The Dulce War by Commander X that I got really into. Another was this guy called James Robert Wright, who is my occult consultant on the project, who's told me about different clones that he knows. One person who I sourced and I listened to all the interviews of is a guy called Donald Marshall, who I'm obsessed with. Also, Max Spears I'm very obsessed with. I've watched everything that Max Spears has ever said on the internet, including Donald Marshall's. And they describe this whole thing of... That in, well, Donald says that in the entertainment industry, you have to sign a contract. If you want, like Britney Spears, if she wants to be promoted as the greatest singer in the world, that she has to sign a contract. That
takes her back to 2006.
That her clone, that her clone has to be a prostitute for the elite billionaires. Mm-hmm. So she signs the copyright of her actual body, her booty and stuff.
So that they can, like, take it. It's like her IP, and she's, like,
franchising. Yeah, so that she franchises the IP of her sexy butt to get fucked by billionaires.
This happens in Vegas?
In clones.
I talked to Britney Spears ever since she was starting her career. Actually, she was being brought there when she was in the Mickey Mouse Club. And, yeah, I helped her make her songs. Oops, did it again and everything. And she said a fantasy of hers was to blow up a cloning station so they couldn't make any more hers. So for this video called Break the Ice, she made a Japanimation video of her breaking into a cloning station and breaking clone tubes. And they look just like that, two on two, like one on top of each other. They have warehouses underground with them growing people.
And so she made a music video called Break the Ice, which exposes this situation.
The fuck is this?
This is a Britney Spears song music video that we're watching right now. This is real. This came out in 2009.
Britney Spears was a bit of a...
So she crashes a billionaire party.
Okay.
She's a bad bitch. She's pissed off that she's had to suck
bunch
all these
goons,
D's.
But they're bad... They're well-dressed goons.
They're super
they're there,
soldiers.
Right? Yeah, they're the security at the party?
Yeah.
Oh, shit, they're evil. So is this like a...
So now she's kicking them out of their ass.
So she's like the classic badass heroine.
Yeah, she's getting out. She's
she jumps in the party. Does she have boots on?
Sexy boots.
Yeah, she's got like knee highs.
It's animated because she's not that fit and she can't do these fight moves, so they just made it into an anime.
Yeah, but they do the style, right? You know what I mean? Like, they know what they're doing.
It's kind of like
they watch anime.
It's not Kill Bill.
Like.
So now they got, like, higher level of security. But she's breaking into an underground base.
So she's taking down the Federation.
What's that? Huh? What's that?
Oh, shit. Those are clones.
These are her clones.
Yeah.
So at 1:33 of the music video, all of a sudden, she sees this clone laboratory.
Yeah, yeah, I saw it. Right?
I know, but the audience can't see this music video, right? So this is a podcast. This is all audio. Fine. So if you watch this music video, at a certain point, she breaks into a clone lab, and she's like, I'm pissed about this situation I'm in. I don't want my clones to get fucked in the ass for the rest of eternity. So she breaks in and blows the place up. That's what Donald Marshall alleges this is all about.
But why can't it be fiction?
Why can't it be fiction?
You think it's the hidden map? I guess that's the argument. Like, it sounds like this was a theory before this music video, that she has clones? Or did this music video spawn the clone argument?
That's a good question. I think the interview... So this came out in 2009, and the interview I watched did come out in, like, 2015, 2016. That said that this was trying to expose the clone agenda that's going on behind the scenes.
But it doesn't...
You just think that she just picked a sci-fi theme for a music video and it doesn't mean anything? Break the Ice, too, is breaking the petri dishes of, you know, the incubators, the glass incubators.
Have you pulled up the lyrics? Have you looked at the lyrics? Because the thing is, it's still, like, a well-done anime in the sense that, like, I mean, the story is trite and quick. Like, it's just her. Like, she takes down the party. Right, she takes down the headquarters. Right. She's kicking ass, right? But it doesn't divert enough from, like, what you would expect. I think that's a creative reading into it.
Now she blew up the place. Now she escapes.
What's the name of it?
Break the Ice.
No. What's the name of the palace?
Oh.
Or the whatever it is.
The hotel that it's like. What's it's on like the surface of the place is a big.
And there's like, a, it's like
corporation.
Yeah,
right?
It's a corporation, but they have like a dance. The Victor. It's right there.
And then the advertisement's kind of blocky.
Yeah, and that pisses me off.
I know, right?
It's the Victoria. You don't get to see it. Nice.
You don't get to see it.
I wonder what it is. The Victoria? The Victory? The Victim? All you see is VIC. T, right? You see VIC T.
You're not sure if it's the Victor or the Victim.
Brittany. Does she have producer credit on it? That's my question. Did someone make that with her directly involved? Just Google it. Just
see I don't know.
Yeah. Because in order to support your theory that this is her explaining it, that means she had to have people involved. And so she wrote it? Like, she pitched? Because there's got to be a way that they take it from, you know, idea to that anime. And that's why I say maybe it's fiction, because it seems like cool, like, Black Mirror-esque shit for, like, 2009 Britney. And it seems like creative fiction. Like, there aren't stupid people working for Britney Spears, at least not in 2009.
Now probably.
Burn, no, I heard now the Vegas show is great.
Break the Ice, the Wikipedia.
Break the Ice song. Damn. Oh, it's from an album.
Album called Blackout from 2007.
Uh-huh.
So are you asking about the...
So you're on the... All right. Critical reception. Does it have any...
Composition. It was made by...
Do they have anything on the video? Like, I want to see the...
Music video.
Here we go.
Britney, however, due to her personal life spiraling out of control, was canceled.
Oh, this is when she
shaved
her head.
An animation video was created instead.
It was made in South Korea, directed by Robert Hales.
So.
It was Spears' idea. Nice. She asked him to make a...
Okay, but anime. Why is her personal life spiraling out of control. She's going crazy. Right,
she went nuts.
Her mind was broken in MK Ultra or something. You don't know what's going on.
Well, also, people in the spotlight with substance problems. No. Yeah, exactly. She was a Disney kid. I think there's a certain humanity that's robbed of people when you think of, like, Britney Spears is 100% in on it. Like, you know what I mean? Like,
well,
I think
what if you're a young person, they go, hey, you want this contract? Now, let's just take the cloning out of it. Do you think that any, like, performer has to be, like, you know, sign a contract with a manager, I'll promote you, but, you know, you got to suck this pipe and all my friends?
Probably.
You know what
and
I mean?
I think that's probably, I mean, that's a big part of the Me Too movement and, like, the whole thing that's happening right now.
Yeah.
Because it happens much more to women. Mm-hmm. But, yeah, that does happen. And people get used all the time, especially when it comes to representation and management agency. It's like, it's fucking, it's rough out here for people who are putting up a lot of their souls. But that's just because a lot happens here. Like, anywhere that, like, dreams can be made true, there's going to be people who try to, like, take a piece. Yeah. You know? Like, anywhere you go that's got, like, some sort of, like, really cool aspect or facet, it's going to have, like, the dark side of that.
Mm.
And that's just what you learn to overcome, and you learn it more by being there. And that's why people who, like, first move to the place have trouble differentiating. But there's always there's always people who are trying to take from those who are trying to make it themselves.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Earlier today, I had Jay Kroger on my podcast, and we were talking about the Aziz Ansari incident.
Mm-hmm.
But where he... Do you know... Did you read articles about this?
Yeah.
What's your take on it before I say anything?
I read it recently, and I don't know. To be honest with you, like, it's not my... I don't know. I don't understand. I haven't really thought about... So let me backtrack.
Okay.
I haven't really thought about how to frame my response. I read about it, and it sounds, you know, to be honest, it sounds like it gets framed either like, I don't think he should have. I think he was wrong. I think that
he should have checked in with her feelings more throughout the encounter.
No, I think. I can say from my own experience, I've been in times where you have to know as the guy that it's not going to happen. And I think everyone has come to that as a guy,
yeah.
And whether or not you proceed after that is the problem.
Right.
And I think that's what he did, is that, like, I think the whole point is that it was made clear and, like, we're grown-ass men, like, we're not kids. Like, we don't have to be told that explicitly. Like, if everything else leading up to that moment is nuanced, which it doesn't sound like it was in this case, to be honest with you. Like, you know, like, she talks about him rushing dinner and, like, all this. Like, the whole thing sounds kind of
rushing
awful.
Dinner?
Yeah, right? Isn't that... Like, I read it yesterday, but it's like they go out for dinner because
mm-hmm.
they were texting. And then he's, like, trying to get through dinner really quickly to take her back to his house. And as soon as they get back, he starts being an asshole.
Mm.
And so it's like, the whole thing skews me out. But
yeah.
It's like, the question is then shifted, like, then to her, like, did she deny consent enough? Or, you know, did she say no hard enough? And I think we're losing by shifting it to that. I think the point is, like, she feels like she did. And I think a lot of women are agreeing with that. And I think us fighting it, like, I think we should just take a back seat for a second. And, like, there are a lot of people who are saying they've been through exactly this, and it's not cool.
Mm.
And I think it'll change. Like, I think, like, it'll change how we can talk back to it. You know what I mean? Like, I think it's wrong to be dismissive so soon to say it's about whether or not she flat out, like, left or, you know what I mean? Like, I think... I think there, at least according to, like, everything that I've read, like, with what she said and done, like, I think there are clear indications that it's, like...
That it wasn't cool.
That it should be off. And, like, I've had that happen to me in my life, and it's off, you know?
Yeah. Yeah, it's weird, though. I had this, and I was telling this story on the podcast earlier today, that I took this girl out from Tinder, right? Mm-hmm. We go to get Indian food, you know. We have a good dinner. We're laughing, blah, blah, blah. You know, I pay the bill. And then I say, hey, you know, you want to come back to my place and smoke some weed and hang out more and have a chat? And everything was going good in the date. And she was like, sure, you know. So I'm like, cool. So I text her my address. I show up like 30 seconds before she does, you know. I bring in her back, we're smoking weed. And I'm like, you want anything? She's like, yeah, I'll have this. So I get her iced tea or beer or whatever it was. And we're talking, finish the joint up. And I go, oh man, you look so cute. And I just leaned in and I tried to give her a kiss, you know.
Yeah.
Because everything was kind of going well. But I thought, you know, she's mm-hmm. at my house, everything. And she was like, oh, whoa. And I was like, what? And she's like, yeah, I'm not really thinking that this is like a romantic thing. And then I was like, now I didn't stick my fingers in her mouth, but what I did do is go, what are you talking about? Uh-huh. And she goes, oh, well, I thought we were just well, this is a date, obviously.
I mean, you met on Tinder, right?
Yeah, yeah.
And you didn't have any dates before that? And she came.
This was our first date.
Yeah.
And then she comes back to my, and then she's like, oh, well, yeah. I was like, okay, well, that's not really what I'm after. And then she's like, okay. I was like, yeah, maybe just get out of here now, you know?
So you kicked her out?
Yeah.
Well, it's weird that she would. So did you meet somewhere first? So you met, you like.
Yeah, we met at a Thai place.
Yeah, at a Thai place. And then she came back here. But she never once expressed that she just wanted to be friends?
No.
So that's like a failed communication on her end.
But I just feel, but it was like laughy, jokey. It wasn't like sexy.
You guys
sexy.
Were chilling. Like there was no.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
You weren't thinking that anything was wrong, but you were still feeling it out. That's why you tried to kiss her.
Yeah.
I think she should have been clear up front before she came back here.
I don't think. Yeah, it was my old house in Van Nuys or whatever.
Okay. Well, yeah. Because it's like, I've been in situations where I've been interested in someone, and then like a similar situation, like, do you want to hang out? Yes, but as friends. You know, like, I think, especially to you, like, it's fair to communicate that to you.
But it's like,
however, that being said, so she was remiss in not advancing that. You didn't then try to have sex with her after you found out the wrong thing. And that's the line. It's like, it doesn't work out. Sometimes people handle it shittily. It doesn't mean that it justifies apples and oranges, you know? It's like, people can be assholes, but sexual assault is a different thing. And
that's
that's where it's dangerous. Like, I understand why people are, like, afraid to directly comment on it. Like, I was, like, hesitant at first. But I think, like, there's like, a line, and it's like, I don't think consent is as hard as we make it out to be, and we try to make it more about, like, free speech, or, like, what about me-ism, like, what if I do this or that, like, how could this one instance disprove the whole theory, and I think that's the wrong way to look at it, because it's just, like, courtesy in general, it's like anything else we do, like, if it's acknowledged as a thing, it's just done, and people stop talking about it in the same way, like, there's always going to be rape, there's always going to be crime, but I think having, like, having women actually be able to talk about it like they are right now, like, it's going to change where we go from here as far as, like, places of, like, power, especially in entertainment. Mm. But, and like, it's good.
But let me also just, like, push back on this. Like, I think that it can't be overshadowed. Like, okay, why is a guy taking a girl out, paying for parking, paying for the food, paying for everything, making everything perfectly simple, blah, 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 all the bills are paid, the parking, everything, whatever the situation is. And then it's just like, oh, thanks, that was great. And then, like there's actually a contract, you know, a wedding ring. If you give a girl a wedding ring or a guy a wedding ring, and then the wedding doesn't go through, they legally have to give it back, right? Because that is not a gift, it's like a contract. And I know that it's like, oh, I paid for dinner, that's a blowjob contract. That's not what I'm saying, but it's like, clearly it's towards the direction of dating. And well, if you're not interested in the person at all, you cannot go back to their house. Period.
Yeah, I would agree with you on that. I think I think that's where it's a misstep. But I don't think that misstep justifies repeated aggression. Maybe you make the first move, and like you're trying to feel it out, you make a move. It becomes apparent after that first move, I think. I don't think there's like any time where it's like, well, yeah, but maybe if that's it, like, there's nothing you can do, you know what I mean? Like, it's cut and dry, and I think that's what he did, is he was like, he waited a second, and he was probably drunk, you know? Mm. Like, and I think it hits a nerve, his story, because I think every guy, especially if they've been drinking, has been more aggressive than they would be otherwise. You know what I mean? Like, I think every guy has actually been probably aggressive in trying to, whether he was misinformed or, you know what I mean? Like, there's a lot of, like, there is an impetus on men to, like, be the first to engage in conversation, and there's a lot of anxiety around it that we don't talk about.
Yeah.
And so, like, people do stupid shit, and like, I feel like I, at one point in my life, like, I've probably been, you know,
a little more aggressive than
where I've, like, kissed a girl, and she's like, oh, not tonight, and then you try to kiss again, you know what I mean? Like, I've never, but it's, like, something, I think, realizing that none of that is cool. You know what I mean? Like, I think that's the whole point. None of that is cool.
Yeah.
It's about just, like, fucking, a no is a no, and it's like we're making it more than it has to be.
Okay, let me tell you this story.
But okay. I still think people can be shitty. I think she shouldn't have led you on like she did.
I think
but
it's a
that's
game
just
of, like,
something, like,
how much
shitty.
Can
it's
I get out of, how much can I get out of this situation while I'm kind of keeping it. My dad took this same girl, you know, my parents are separated, they're both dating now, you know. My dad took this one girl out like 6 times to dinner, blah, blah, blah. And then it was getting to the point where it's like, and then he asked her on a 7th date, and then she texted him back, you're not, like, even close to someone that I would consider a romantic relationship with.
Really?
And it's just like, so, wait a minute. So then the 6th, so from the 4th, and then the 5th, and then the 6th.
So you know what that sounds like, though? That sounds like that person is a shitty person who used your dad. And, like, that's the thing.
And
shitty
then justified
people are around
it.
Us.
And
yeah,
then and justified it by going, oh, well, my company is worth
it doesn't
this.
Fucking matter.
But there's a contract
there's
of dating. So that's what I'm saying, like, there's got to be a clear contract of dating, and
so,
there can't be any of this nonsense
but I think
where abusery.
I think there is, because I just started dating again, and it's like, there is kind of an unspoken contract. Online dating makes it weird, but there is something. What happened in your case sucked, but it was the first date?
Yeah.
And that's usually the date where you figure it out.
Right.
And she, I guess, figured it out, and maybe she liked hanging out with you, and maybe she was having a good time, and she enjoyed kicking it. And she didn't think about whether or not she wanted to kiss you until that moment that you went to kiss her, and her first reaction was taken aback.
Mm-hmm.
And maybe, you know, it doesn't mean that, like, it's the first date. It doesn't mean that she's never going to want to kiss you, but it might also. You'll find out, like, if you don't talk to each other next week. You
right.
know what I mean? Yeah, I think if you do go on a second, like, I think all these things become apparent. Like, I think we don't give each other credit when we talk in the hypothetical, because it's always a what if, and it's like, that's not trying to be better, that's fearing, like, doing the wrong thing, you know?
Yeah.
But I don't know, online dating is weird because it's a whole element of dating that's not organic. Like, when you meet somebody at, like, a bar or a party or something like that, like, your, like, timelines just kind of cross. But, like, when you're online dating, you're kind of, like, shopping.
Yeah.
You're, like, hitting a bunch of things in, like, a certain order. You're, like, spinning a bunch of plates. Mm. And it always makes it seem like an element of, like, juggling or, like, shopping, where you're, like, even the first date has different stakes than the first date of someone you meet, like, just at a party, you know, and you actually go on a date the next time. It's interesting. I don't think it's necessarily bad, because I feel like it gives more people the opportunity to date. And, like, I feel like, you know, I feel shy or socially awkward a lot, so I don't always, you know, talk to people in real life. And I feel like I go on more dates because of it. Because, like, I'll talk to people online, and I'll be like, if we have kept similar interests, you can be more personable.
Right.
But it's also a lot of work. It's not as cool as, like, when I was in a long relationship, and
then
it ended, and suddenly everyone had smartphones, and, like, wow, there's a whole dating world out there.
Yeah.
We can use the internet, and people have computers in their hands. And, like, 3 months in, I'm like, and I'm done with this.
Yeah. No, but also my friend, well, maybe I shouldn't name this, but he went on a series of, like, a Tinder date, like, 2 a week.
Mm-hmm.
2 Tinder dates a week for, like, 3 months. And he realized he spent $2,200
mm-hmm.
over 2 months and got zero... Well, a couple second dates, but no third dates.
Mm-hmm.
And that was it.
Now, maybe that's just an analysis of that he's not a good dater, but it's also like some people are like, you know, just freedinner.com should not exist.
So, and I think I'll say three things about that. One, just fucking stop using Tinder. His strategy's not working, whatever. Yeah, right. I don't fucking use Tinder. Like, that's a different market. Two, like, maybe out of, like, 100 people he goes on a date with, maybe anywhere up to 40 to 50%, like, one out of every two is just there for a free date. Mm. But the other 50%, I'd say, like, at least 40 of them are actually, like, looking to date, which leaves the point three, he might be going about it the wrong way. And maybe something he's bringing to the table isn't what people want to see. Mm. And, like, maybe he should, instead of spending so much money going out to dinner, he should
pick a different venue
for a second. Yeah. And maybe he should do something that's, like, authentic to him. I found dating that, like, people are interested when you show real interest in stuff. And if they align those things, it works really well.
Like archery or, like, running canyon. Or
yeah, exactly. Like, if you like hiking together, or, like, if you both, like, went to art school. Like, I would, you know?
Yeah, yeah.
Going to a museum or something. Something where it's, like, you can be excited and talk where you're somewhat of a, not a professional about it, but you know what I mean? Like, where you can actually have a conversation and the other person can, and it's engaging on more than the small talk level, I found is nice. And then you get to know each other's personality while you're still talking about something else than each other directly. You know, it's less evaluating. But, like, maybe that's part of it. You know, maybe he's going about it the wrong way. That's a lot of... Yeah, I wouldn't use Tinder.
Yeah. But then...
2,200. The other thing is, I don't always buy everything. Don't buy everything.
Right, that's... Well,
you know? Look... Some people you can. You can feel it out. Yeah, and it depends if you're going for coffee or something. Like, it's always awkward the first time if you're going for coffee. Like, a lot of time I'll buy that. But it's like... Sometimes people will offer, and it's like, I don't know. You can kind of gauge people's authenticity. Mm. But I think if you don't buy everything, it shows that, like, it takes the stakes off. Mm. I think a lot of time, like, girls, they know that's the question. That's the elephant in the room. Like, you know, they hold the keys right there, and they want to enjoy themselves, but they kind of don't want that burden.
Right.
And they know that, like, we're thinking about it, and, like, we're trying, because we're also thinking about other things. Like, we're also neurotic about our own shit.
Right, right.
But there's this unspoken thing, and it's a lot of pressure, and sometimes it's just too much pressure,
Get mad, like, well, where's that fucking pussy? Show me the monkey. Yeah. What is happening here?
Or, like, maybe, or maybe they're just not interested at the end of the night. That's the other thing. Guys are really bad at rejection. It has to be something wrong with it. Yeah. It's like, maybe they're just not interested.
Yeah.
Something I can, like, maybe I'm not someone's type. Maybe they're not interested for reasons, like, I'm happy who I am. Took me until my fucking early 30s.
Yeah, me too.
Like,
maybe we're just slow. You slow down where you're like, oh no, this is good. This is how I think. I'm okay with this.
And it's like that may happen. And I think that's hard. If someone's not interested, coming to a head on that is hard. And people tend to put it off because, like, getting along with someone feels good.
Mm-hmm.
And it's only when you have to make a decision that people do. And sometimes it happens at times. Where, like, we feel more vulnerable, like, you made a move, you know, so you're even more vulnerable than if you had just had the conversation before, which would have been the better way. Like, you may not have invited her back if you had that conversation.
Right.
And part of you, like, part of why I guess you kicked her out is you felt kind of used that she came back 100%. Because it changed your expectation.
100%. Because, I wasn't saying that we were going to go start fucking and sucking in the back, but that would have been nice. But just, like... Oh, you're someone that I'm going on a date with. This is a date. Like, maybe we don't have another girlfriend back.
You framed it as a date.
Yeah, I mean, it's just like, what the fuck? So every move I make is because I want the date to progress, right?
Mm-hmm.
So especially a move like, hey, let's go back to my place. I mean, what in the fuck? Do we have to, you know, do I got to draw a picture with crayons and stuff to know, like, what's going on there in my head?
But that's like the Aziz Ansari argument, too.
Yeah, but again, I don't think you go back to his house if you're not into it. I'm not saying that you should definitely expect that, you know, that if you're going in there that he can just date rape you or drug you with a Cosby pill. But I'm saying, like, from the dinner to the house, that's what's going on, period, every time. So...
Yeah, but I agree. Like, she shouldn't have... gone back.
Yeah.
But it doesn't justify.
It doesn't anything, justify.
You know what I mean? Like, it's two different things.
If he went to kiss her and then she said, oh, I'm not into this, and he kicked her out like I did, I think that would have been, like, a better story. Yeah, he got aggressive. But I think that what also weirded me out about the wording of the article was she said, I gave him so many nonverbal cues.
Yeah, but
and then
that's the fucking synopsis of the article. If you read the actual article, it's very specific.
Okay, but yeah. I read a text also of yeah. that she sent him after,
mm-hmm.
and then she yeah, said... Yeah.
But they have, like, I read the, like, both. It's very... Because that was my initial reaction, like, nonverbal cues. I'm like, well, what does she mean by this? It's very explicit. Like, I think, to be honest, reading through it, it, like, made me cringe a little bit, like, not drinking myself, like, having, like, mm-hmm. been an alcoholic, like, being an alcoholic and remembering, like, it sounds like he's just fucking blackout drunk and trying to have sex. To be honest with you. And
yeah,
that's why
I didn't
he doesn't
read that.
Realize the seriousness
See, I,
of it.
I read only one article, so maybe we have different information.
Yeah, it doesn't justify any of it. You know what I mean? Like, yeah. that changes nothing. Like, victimhood, like, it's the same thing, you know, yeah. to her. But it, yeah, it's, like, the whole thing, fucking, I don't know.
Dating is so weird.
Well, no, but I think here's my advice, though.
Yeah, yeah.
Is that fucking specify, just like we were talking about our degrees and how they say, just like Bachelor of Liberal Art. I can't talk. Bachelor of Liberal Arts.
Yeah.
Specify, like we did in college. Like, I found that girls who I can talk to about things, like I was saying, that, like, I. Like, that's everyone. Oh, find common interests. But the way you find common interest isn't, like, Tinder and shit like that. If I can check, like, Meetup or something, like, find, like, a young, like, comics workshop and shit,
yeah.
people would do that. Because the girls yeah. that you want to meet, who actually are normal girls, who are looking for stuff like this,
yeah.
are, they're shy, too. You know? Like, I think that's part of the thing. Like, we're not going to, like, there's the traditional stuff, which is, like, clubs and nightlife, and people do that for a while. But, like, that's not, like, I don't enjoy that particularly much.
Right.
And I've realized in my 30s now that, like, that isn't lasting and it's, like, fleeting. Even if you do conform to that and, like, push yourself to do it,
yeah.
it's not, it doesn't pay off.
That's why I think, like, high school girlfriends and undergrad girlfriends are really intense girlfriends, because for 4 years you are dating. If you're in the same classroom, every time they raise their hand, you might be like, oh, I have a crush on that person.
yeah.
Every time they speak, you're like, oh, I'm going to get an excuse to stare at their beautiful face or whatever. you know, you start to really, yeah. like, get into just like, oh, I get to, now I just get to stare at your face because you're talking. You're
yeah.
hot. Or, oh, you're wearing that thing where I get to see the side boob. You know what I'm saying? When you're a real
creep. Side boob's key.
But every time they raise your hand, you get to see their personality, for real.
Mm-hmm.
Like, oh, I think this person doesn't read every fucking time, and they're a dummy, so I'm not as interested as the person
yeah.
who's like, oh, you did your homework. Oh, you actually care about
yeah.
stuff. Oh, you know, like, in class, you really feel out their brain, you know?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's always been my thing. I've never been good at picking people up from, like, clubs or anything that's, like,
yeah.
designated as, like, a single spot where people pick each other up. Because so much of it is about, like, a loud environment where you invade each other's space.
Yeah.
And I just get
just
so
start
neurotic.
Humping.
Yeah, exactly.
Just start dry humping.
In public. And it's like, I excel when I can talk a little bit.
More the slow burn.
Yeah. I like to be outside, smoking a joint in the parking lot.
Yeah.
Talking about,
oh.
talking, like, the concept that's happening in there. But,
yeah.
like, and then we'll walk through.
Let's unpack.
Yeah, let's
the
unpack
animal
those.
Noises we were making.
Yeah, but that's why I've always liked, you know, like, school,
yeah.
when we're in school, or, like, classes or meetups or anything where, like, you're kind of engaging in something where you're not there for the sole purpose of, like, mating. you
yeah.
know? Like, you're there, and mating could be, like, a tertiary activity.
Kind
like,
of like archery dates, where it's like,
yeah.
hey, this isn't fucking on a dance floor to
yeah,
music.
To balls.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, but I have faith in the dating scene and where we're moving.
Yeah.
It is like shopping. There are people who surf it for free dinner. Like,
yeah.
yeah.
And
like,
that's
but,
so terrible.
But leave Tinder.
Yeah.
I left Tinder, and I went on a couple of dates from Hinge just recently. Like, I just activated it last week.
Yeah?
And, yeah, and it's been
you
really nice.
You activated it?
Yeah, I took some time off from the dating apps, where I was
yeah.
like, after Steph and I broke up a couple months ago, I was like,
Was that the girl I met on the side of the cliff?
Yeah, you did. Yeah, when we were camping. Yeah.
Okay. How'd that... Why did that end? Can you say anything about that?
We got along really well, but we both kind of wanted different things. We were, like, weren't giving it to each other. It's nondescript, but it's true.
One is was a baby or something?
No, not at all. No, it was, I'm gone a lot, and, like, I'm gone, like, 4 months a year, traveling, and, I don't know, I'm kind of neurotic, and I haven't figured myself out, you know, like, when I'm gone by myself for that long, living in, like, a hotel, I get into, like, this zone where I'm, like, very happy, and, like, very sustained, you know, like, I feel like I'm firing on all cylinders, and, like, that's why I like doing these long trips where I'll be in a hotel for a month.
Because your life could become simple because everything is just, you have to do this every day.
Yeah, and so I have, like, a kit of parts, and I have to make it as good as I can. Like, make it the best possible thing.
A kit of what?
Oh, kit of parts. Like a toolbox. Okay. You know what I mean? Like, as a metaphor. And it's like, this is what you have, make this the best thing you can. And, like, that's great, and I thrive in that. I was recently diagnosed with ADHD.
Oh.
I started seeing someone when I got back from China, and I, yeah, like, 3 sessions in, I started taking tests, and by the 4th session, he's like, yeah, you have ADHD. I'm like, what? He's like, yeah, 100%. I'm like, no. I'm like, you know, I'm 33. Like, you probably would have caught this. He's like, yeah, you've done, like, well in school, you know, but, like, I think you had good support. And, like, I thought about it, and it's like, I've never been great at homework or things. I'm good with creative things or, like, things that I care about. I'm good at juggling stuff. That's why I do event work, and I really like event work because I have, like, 10 things I have to manage at once. But I'm bad when I have too many options, you know? Like, if there are too many things, I have trouble prioritizing or picking, like, a certain road to follow. It's like people have a misconception about ADHD that it's, like, you're just, like, bouncing off the chair. You have an attention deficit. But really, it's, like, a receptor deficit. So you have all these neurons, like, firing in your brain, but you don't have all the receptors to pick out a clear stream. So it changes between, like, 10 different things, whereas most people have enough receptors where they can find, like, the main beam, you know, and stick with that.
Focus on the narrative of their life.
Whereas it's hard for people with ADHD to pick one of those. So people who, like, tend to excel with ADHD, like, learn to just, like, train themselves to, like, spin a bunch of those plates at once. But, like, it gets fatiguing. That's why, like, when you, like, kind of crash when you get tired and shit. But I was like, yeah. I mean, it made sense. It's like, I discredited it at first. And then, like, the more materials he gave me and the more tests I did. And, like, yeah, it's 100%.
Let's take a pee break.
Okay.
Highway Diary continues after a little pee break. You know, it's just, it's like, how do you set up your brain? How do you set up your reward system, you know? And, you know, when you do have a girlfriend and you are in love, and, you know, you can kind of, like, put up with any bullshit in your life. Or if you schedule, like, okay, Friday I got that hot date with my girlfriend, blah, blah, blah. Well, Monday to Friday is going to be a breeze because you have that, like, marker in your head that everything focuses to, you know? So you have something to look forward to, you know, certain aspects of your life are settled.
Yeah, sexual frustration is a real thing.
Yeah.
It's nice, like, feeling sexually fulfilled on the regular.
Yeah.
However, that's not always the same, you know what I mean? I feel like at different periods of my life, feeling sexually fulfilled meant different things, you know? It's not always, like, you got to be careful not to idealize the girlfriend state either.
Right.
That sounds like I'm a player or something, but I don't mean it like that. I just mean it, like, there's a way that, like, I feel I've been codependent in the past where I've idealized the girlfriend state as, like a thing. You know what I mean? Like, that, like, a relationship, it was like an entity.
Right.
You know?
It's almost like a two-person cult. It's like a religion. It's like, our religion is making each other happy.
Yeah. You know? That's fucking family, man.
But then it turns into, like, when one of them feels pain, then the other wants to inflict that pain on the other or something like that, you know? All your childhood issues come out, and you have these weird patterns of getting jealous of your lover or something like this, or...
Yeah.
You see him talking to another guy, and you trip. It's hard to manage all your emotions when, you know, you put that much stock into somebody. You know,
it's hard because people are still people, you know?
Someone on my Muay Thai team, he's the guy who developed the logo of the Muay Thai Academy of America in North Hollywood. Like, there's a logo on the t-shirt, on the sweater. The guy was married to this lady for 20 years, And she was getting fussy, and she's like, I want a Lexus. I want a Lexus. And he could barely afford it. But he went on overtime, blah, blah, blah. He bought her a Lexus.
Mm-hmm.
Right? Then she was going around with her new boyfriend in the Lexus, and he shot himself.
Wow.
And
why'd he buy her the Lexus, man? That's like rule number one.
Well, they're 20 years in. He's like, I want to make my wife happy.
Yeah. But you don't think issues were apparent that the Lexus was not going to fix those issues? Like, spending $40,000 on a car is not going to solve this?
I think she was, excuse me, I shouldn't be criticizing or judging.
He ended up killing himself. There, like, maybe that was his last ditch effort. That was his play.
He wanted to fix the marriage. And she...
That's not going
to
fix
the
marriage.
And maybe, though. But maybe maybe she was like, I just need a Lexus. I just feel like a used up bitch. You know, I don't... I have nothing new in my life. I really want this car, you know.
Which you don't know. Like, is that what she said? Or
I don't
know. No, you're just martyring him.
No, yeah.
Okay.
Well, I don't know much about it.
You're upset that it happened.
Yeah. Okay. I know.
It is unfortunate.
I know she cheated on him after 20 years of marriage, after he bought her a Lexus. Yeah. And I did Muay Thai with him, and he was a really nice guy.
That's
and
terrible.
He killed himself.
Yeah.
And so that much
really
I know.
Sounds really unfortunate.
That much awful. I know. Yeah. But it's like, yeah, I could see how you put 20 years of your life, like the fruit of your life's labor. You know, you don't like working, but what if you had to work 90% more because you were supporting someone else?
No.
And then they just take everything, they take your love ball, and they go, cool.
It sounds awful.
I'm going to get another wiener. I don't know.
I don't think it's even about the wiener, though. Like, yeah, the sex part hurts, but it's like when you spend 20 years with a person, like, that's codependency. That's the part where, like, you're, like, best friends. Like, you know, there's a reason people say bullshit about their souls being linked and shit. Like, you end up, like, working in tandem with someone, and at a certain point, that fell out of sync, which is obvious by her taking the Lexus and fucking bouncing with a new boy. But it's hard for him to reset after that, or at least I've talked to, because, like, I have friends who have gotten... like, divorced or separated, or, like, I would separate after a long relationship, and it's, like, it's hard to reset after that.
Yeah.
Because a lot of expectations you have from, like, almost a decade of your life can be, like, tied to something else.
Yeah.
I'd
like a 2-year, a 4-year, and then everything after that has been, like, 6 months, 8 months, 4 months, that kind of thing. Oh, it's right here.
Yeah. Yeah, I find you know between, like, the 9 months to 1 year mark. You know if it's something, like, that's going to work. And then at the 2-year mark, you know if it's something worth, like, really fighting for.
Yeah.
And then at the 5-year mark, that's, like, the fucking, whether you're married or not, that's, like, when people, I think, really come to terms with what it means to be together for the rest of your life. When you hit the 5-year mark, you're like, we can, you know, anyone who's been in 5 years has talked about, like, jumping in. Fuck me for generalizing, but, you know, like, you've thought about it, and, like, what it means to be with one person the rest of your life. So it's hard to, like, when you kind of accept that as a truth, to reset. But it's good, like, you know, say what you will about monogamy, say what you will about being single.
Yeah. Also, can I just say this, like, when you get, and maybe this is weird or whatever, but when you're living with a girl for, like, 3 years or something like that, you know... Then this, I know this in season Zari stuff, you know, was just brought up, and I don't want to compare anything to it. But there's some always weird things. I remember, you'd be a little horny, and, you know, you just kind of, whatever, just kind of jerk off on your girlfriend's butt, you know, that kind of
is
stuff.
Is she aware of the jerk off?
Oh, sure.
Yeah,
you kind of grab her boob a little bit, and you just do it, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
There's not a lot of, what's the word? Consent involved, verbal, but it's just kind of like, you know.
Yeah, but that's your girlfriend.
Just things happen.
You sleep at her house, right?
Right.
Yeah, that's different than someone who comes over here first date.
Yeah.
And I thought about that when we took our break for a second. I thought about how I said she shouldn't have gone up to his apartment. And that, I realized, is also wrong, because that implies that she knew then and there that she wasn't going to sleep with him. And that means that I'm saying she should have known. Like, maybe she... You know, like
you're
maybe
saying, maybe she wanted to have sex with him.
We don't
so
know,
she goes
and it's not
in.
For us to like set a deadline for when she has to decide. The fact of the matter is, she decided, and he persisted, and so fuck him all the way for that. Like, that's where it.
But did she also give him a blowjob and stuff?
She
like
did,
that?
Yeah.
Okay.
I
thought he just motioned to it, and then she was like, "Okay."
You can read it. I don't know. It's like the that's kind of damning. I mean, the other, like, what I've seen, other people rebutting it are saying that it was from Babe.net. And, like, why wouldn't a more reputable news outlet publish this story?
I saw it on, like, JustJustin.com. So I guess Justin is in his mom's basement, and he's reading other sources and regurgitating.
Yeah, it's making the rounds, but, like, the premiere, you know what I mean? Like, usually, Postal Break stories at times.
Right.
This is Babe.net. Like, fucking, even back in the day, Gawker would break shit. This is Babe.net. But that being said, I think what is learned out of this is that, like, we're talking about this situation, and I think this is the next step of the Me Too movement, is that, so, we get past, like, people of power manipulating women to have sex with them to advance their careers, you know? Like, that's the whole thing, the power dynamic.
Now it's
no longer the power dynamic, it's the consent dynamic. And I think consent has been made too, you know, confusing. Like, people can talk to each other, but it's on both parties to communicate. You know? Consent's not that hard.
Yeah.
You know? And he should have stopped immediately.
Yeah.
It's like...
And sometimes my girlfriend would be jerking off her butt and grabbing her, like, side boob, you know? Yeah. She'd just be like, just clean it up when you're done.
Because you're in a committed relationship.
So I'll just jerk off and then it'll spunk everywhere and then I'll clean it up and then...
It's your responsibility.
You can just lay there and I'll pull your panties
up. She's being a work of art and she's living her life. And she's allowing you to ejaculate all over her for your pleasure.
You know what I mean?
As long as you take care of it.
Yeah.
She's not even asking like you to like take her to the shower. She's like, just get some Bounty.
Probably a little... No, it would be like a wet paper towel or something.
Get some wet Brawny.
Yeah.
I like that lumberjack.
Yeah. Just need 2 sheets for a gum spill.
Really? That's all you need? Yeah.
3 if there's scat involved.
Oh, wow. That jacked you up. That's like an extra cell in the shotgun.
Yeah. Sometimes a little... It comes out.
I don't know.
Just that's the contraction of the orgasm, you know?
That sounds intense, man.
You're just the
Hershey kiss factor. It sounds like the dark side. It's like, your power is great, but it's somewhat mystical.
So weird.
Are you still drinking 5-Hour Energy?
I don't know.
We should put a cap on that. I think your case is you should be getting off 5-Hour Energy.
Yeah.
I bet you'll go through caffeine withdrawal.
You think so?
Yeah, my mom stopped drinking coffee, and she went through caffeine withdrawal. You'll get headaches and shit.
Oh.
You should try tea at least. I hear that helps caffeine withdrawal. Like, you still get a little bit of caffeine, but you'll get like
iced tea.
60 milligrams
of
caffeine instead of 110.
I don't know.
But that's your case study.
Yeah.
Then you can say fuck you all you want to his, like, stop eating bread and shit. Like, find fish in the river and fuck them and eat them.
But, you know, like, we're just a bunch of, like, white people. We're cisgender white people, you know. I want to
make that all right.
Well, I just want to, like, dating. You know, we're talking about dating. You know what I mean? Like, let's ask some black people called Lil Jon and the East Side Boys. What's going on with dating? Have you heard this one?
Have you seen the Chris Rock special on this? It's good. Yeah. He talks about rap music nowadays. From the Windows to the Wall of the Sweat, and how it's like, you'll see, his whole joke is, you'll see women dancing to, like, really derogatory things, like, Windows to the Wall of the Sweat, blah, 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 and they're just going nuts, like, people, you know, it's a really funny bit. I don't mean to steal his,
Have you heard the Rake It Up, though?
Rake It Up? Is it from 1999?
No,
it's 2009? Yeah, what do you, air on?
Podbean. Just that goes
For some reason, I thought before you were going to have the trailers that we were watching, whatever, the videos, like, whatever site you were hosting.
No, it's all just audio.
You could do that, where you just have black, and it just shows the videos. You don't have to record video for the whole thing. You could just, like, cut in that shit. And people who are watching on a shit like us. Nicki Minaj is still working. No, I haven't. I'm out of the loop when it comes to hip hop videos.
Just been my shit the last 2 months. Just throwing money in the pool and then
making it back out,
out with the net. It's just a process. They're working all day by the pool.
I like it. Opulence, man.
Sorry, I'm just kind of obsessed with it.
It's like the kind of rap. I was never into, like, the fucking bulk rap, though. It's cool, like the braggadocio thing. The braggadocio thing has a bunch of elements.
I just
and,
think, like,
you know, there's like everything under like battling to like political rap, and like there's like something that's just about like fucking being a pimp. And it comes and goes in waves of like how large a percentage of hip hop it is at the time. But it's I was never like huge, but also I'm not an authority on hip hop. I enjoy it.
He says one of his lines is, "We don't pay no shooters." That means he's shooting up people all the time. He's the
one doing it.
He's just the mastermind behind this operation.
Yeah,
that's the lifestyle. But I think I can understand that he's just doing a braggadocious poem. And to me, musically, it's really good.
But there's like different levels of braggadocio. Like, there's a lot of braggadocio rappers too who do it in a clever way, or a way that isn't just demonstrating wealth or demonstrating coolness. There's something about at this stage saying how cool you are, how much money you have, that's kind of moot. It's like, it's cool, like, we still need people to fill that slot, to fulfill that dream, but I think there's enough hip-hop nowadays that there's also a market for people who want to see, like, good hip-hop that says something.
You like they want to see, like,
people, yeah, like, people were happy when the new Tribe Called Quest album came out. Like, fucking, like, people always like Telly Pooley shit, you know, like, there's plenty of good shit to use, like, old bass lines and shit.
You gotta let it build.
Back in the days when I was a teenager, before I had status and before I had a pager, you can find the abstract.
Oh, you like Hobbs?
Hip-hop. My pops used to say, you know, I reminded him of Bebop. I said, well, daddy, don't you know that things go in cycles? Way the Bobby Brown is just the amper like Michael. It's all expected. Things are overlooking. If you got the money, Quest is for the booking. Come on, everybody, let's get with the fly modes.
Yeah, check out Quest, man. Listen to the rhymes. They had a song called I Left My Wallet in El Segundo, and I had to work a job in El Segundo right after I got the CD, and it would like come on whenever I was leaving. It was just like the timeline would work out.
Yeah.
It was nice. It would always make me think I forgot something at work. Alright, we can
cool. Yeah, let's wrap up this podcast. I mean, it's been like an hour and 20 minutes or something.
We've been hanging out. Yeah.
I have an idea. There's like a sauna next door that maybe we should, maybe if you want to go in a sauna, we could like do that. But anyway, this has been another episode of The Highway Diary. This has been episode 187 with Devin Murphy.
Hey, it was a pleasure, man.
Check out Here Comes Godot, the premiere cut on YouTube, and we'll see if we have any updates coming out about that. And be good, date well.
Be good to each other. Yeah. Be excellent to each other.
Get consent. Make sure it's not weird and nonverbal. Make sure, you know, like Nicki Minaj, like, has her fat ass in the air for you, and it's like, all right, it's time to go.
You should never use exceptions to prove or disprove that innocent.
All right, take care.